You're listening to SBS News.
Premier Gladys Berejiklian has apologised unreservedly for the Ruby Princess debacle that led to one of Australia's biggest coronavirus outbreaks, with many hundreds of cases and at least 28 deaths. Her apology came after she spent the weekend reading the findings of a Special Commission of Inquiry report that was delivered on Friday. Commissioner Brett Walker identified serious, inexcusable and inexplicable mistakes by New South Wales Health, which led to thousands of passengers being allowed to leave the cruise ship in March without test results being returned. The passengers returned to their homes, with some taking domestic or international flights, spreading the virus around Australia and other countries. Premier Berejiklian apologised for mistakes and errors and made particular mention of the 62 people who got sick after they came into contact with infected passengers.
In particular to the 62 people who got the virus in secondary or tertiary way, those 62 people who weren't on the ship but somehow contracted the virus as a consequence of that disembarkation. And I want to say I can't imagine what it would be like having a loved one or being someone yourself who continues to suffer and experience trauma as a result. And I want to apologise unreservedly to anybody who is continuing to suffer or has suffered unimaginable loss because of mistakes that were made within our health agencies.
The New South Wales Police Commissioner Mick Fuller says a criminal investigation into what happened remains ongoing. New South Wales reported 7 new cases, which includes 1 returned traveller and 6 locally acquired cases. Chief Health Officer Dr. Kerry Chant says she's been in touch with schools to bring in new regulations designed to stop the spread of the virus. These include a ban on school formals, graduation ceremonies and choirs.
We're having a particular focus on stopping singing or chanting activities or the use of wind instruments in groups, and that is because we have increasingly become aware around the way that droplets and aerosols can be generated by those activities. Also, school-related social activities, school formals, dinners and dances and graduation ceremonies or parent engagement functions should cease. And also school-related overnight events such as retreats, camps, excursions, as there is obviously an increased risk of transmission in these residential-type exposures that are a consequence of those activities.
Queensland didn't record any new cases and has now gone 28 days without a case of community transmission. Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk says the state border won't be reopening to people from Victoria and New South Wales until both states eradicate community transmission.
Let me make it very clear. We will always put Queenslanders first. We will put the safety of Queenslanders first. And we do not have any intentions of opening any borders whilst there is community transmission active in Victoria and in New South Wales.
Victoria recorded 282 new cases and 25 deaths. That's the highest number of fatalities in a 24-hour reporting period. Premier Daniel Andrews says the latest deaths were people aged from their 60s to their 90s.
22 of those 25 fatalities are linked to aged care outbreaks. There are 657 Victorians in hospital. 44 of those are receiving intensive care, and 32 of those 44 are on a ventilator.
The elderly are particularly vulnerable to dying from COVID-19, and more than 200 older Victorians have perished during the pandemic. 98-year-old Marianne Swartz is one of the oldest people in Australia to contract and beat the coronavirus. She became ill in July and spent time in a Melbourne hospital where her temperature reached 39.4 degrees. She also suffered bacterial pneumonia and a flare-up of some pre-existing bronchitis. Marianne Swartz spent time in concentration camps during the Holocaust and says that made her a resilient individual. She's convinced that resilience helped her in her fight against coronavirus.
Yes, I believe that very strongly. Yes, it certainly made me more resilient. If anything I profited from the Holocaust was that I became more resistant.
Her niece, Karin Safia, says her aunt has always been extremely active and believes her mindset is part of the reason why she managed to ward off COVID-19.
Well, I think a very important one is her attitude to life and her resilience. She's extremely active. She was playing table tennis, driving a car, playing bridge, Sudoku. So she kept her mind and body extremely active. But one thing she mentioned also was that in her early life as a Holocaust survivor, she was exposed to so many infectious diseases that she believes that that may have improved her immune system.
Marianne Swartz needs to spend just a few more days in post-hospital quarantine at her niece's house and then intends to move back to her unit where she'd been living independently before becoming ill. She says her life has taught her to do the best she can, no matter what the circumstances.
I feel that you have to do the best you possibly can because there is nothing you can do against. And the only thing I learned in my life that whatever happens to me, I have to accept if I can't do anything against it. This is what I'm still doing. For instance, my taste buds were gone completely. I was not able to eat. Now, slowly, my taste buds are starting to work again, and I'm eating fairly normal. I never was a big eater, but I try to eat in order to live.
And you can stay up to date on coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Greg Diet, SBS News.